Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, my radio listeners. This is Pastor Ola Starling with the Anointed Word International Ministries. I'm so glad to come before you once again. I am just excited, praise God, just knowing, praise God, that God is still on the throne. And you know why I love him so much? He never leaves his throne unattended. So that means, praise God, he's able, praise God, to be everywhere at one time because he is omnipotent, omniscient, and omnipresent. That is Alpha and Omega. And I just thank God, praise God, for tonight, because tonight is a night, praise God, that we're going to be dealing with something, praise God, that is really, praise God, needed, praise the Lord, because we as saints of God, we must know, praise God, that we're in a battle constantly in our flesh. And but tonight, before we go any further, I want to invite you to invite someone, praise the Lord, to go in and to listen to the messages that are played, that can be played, that has already been recorded, and you can go and do that by going to blogtalkradio.com/anointedwordministry and just listen to the word of the Lord. I promise you, I will give you word. I don't have a ticket. I don't have any kind of oil to give you no claws to cut out to say I done laid and slept on them. I don't have no lucky charm. I don't have blue claws, red claws, green claws. I don't have any of that to give to you. But I promise you what I do have to can give to you is the word of God, because I realize everything is going down except the word of God. And if you're going down on the word, you definitely won't go down long. You'll come up, because the word stands on its own. And I thank God, praise God, for choosing me to be his mouthpiece. I thank the Lord for choosing me, because I didn't choose him. And I give God praise for that. And tonight, praise God, I want to just go to the throne of grace for a word of prayer. And Father, in Jesus' name, as I come to you now, my Father, I come in his name, asking you, Father God, that you, praise God, would allow, praise God, this word to come forth with clarity and understanding. Praise God, that it would touch some soul, some heart, to pull some soul out of, praise God, out of the muck and the marl clay. Some soul, praise God, that is headed for hell, but God, you're giving them a chance to turn it around. And Lord, I pray, praise God, that the word go forth, because you stated it in your word, that your word is not going to go out and be void, but it will go out and accomplish that in which you sent it. And you sent it, praise God, to the four corners of the world to make sure, praise God, those that hear has an ear that they would hear and repent and be born again. And Father, I thank you for your love. Thank you for your forgiving power. Thank you for another chance, praise God, of being a child of God and serving you, praise God, in the name of Jesus. And Father, I thank you right now. Amen. And tonight, praise God, we're not going to, slow down with the time, because time is on our, it's not on our hands, but we thank God for the time that he has given us and that he provided for us. And tonight, praise God, I want to ask you a question. How sure are you in your spiritual walk with God? How sure? How sure are you? Do you not know that the spirit and the flesh fights every day, every second, every minute? Do you know there's a war going on in the members of your mind that is trying to bring you into captivity? Because the things that you would do, you could not do, and the things you could do, you would not do. There is a fight that goes on in the members of your mind. And tonight, I just want to talk to you briefly, praise God, from the scripture, 1 Corinthians 2:14-16. 1 Corinthians 2:14 through 16. And if I had to say what is a subject I would want to talk to you about, I would give you a subject, Christian living in today's society. Christian living in today's society. And how did I derive from that? I derived from that because I realized there is a battle going on in the members of our minds. So now we have that, because we can understand that, we realize that the natural man versus the spiritual man. Do you not know that you are more spirit? You are spirit. And natural, your natural personality of you is just around for a season? Did you not know the spirit man is you? Did you not know that Jesus is coming back for the spirit of you? Not the natural man of you, but the spirit of you. So that means that we must be able to reject the natural man and accept the spiritual man in regards to our self-control, introspection, you know, like our, that, you know, our perspective on how we see things, and forgiveness and your servitude. Yes, your forgiveness and servitude. Servitude means how you serve God. What do you do when you serve? Serving means, see, serving is a, it's a gift. It's a blessing. Servitude. And many times we as saints of God, we have forgotten about the servitude. We don't think about that. You know, certain things we don't think about that you're going to have to be engaged in order, praise God, to enter into the kingdom of God. There are many qualities to this and qualifications. Now, if you just really listen to me, I would like for everybody that's under the sound of my voice, listen. The listener should be able to explain the difference. What is the difference between the natural man and the spirit man? My natural man always yearns for things of the flesh. It wants to dominate. It wants to take over. It wants to be seen. It wants to be heard. But your spirit man is the one can just be still, because he know that the spirit of you does not change. It don't have to fight to do anything, because he is who he is. Your spirit don't change. And so that each person will want to know how to be less natural and more spirit in this life. Now, if you read the book of 1 Corinthians 2:14 and 16, Paul was just finished. He had just finished addressing the issue of a division at the church of Corinth. Now, let me say this, because during that time of the church of Corinth, everybody, they didn't sit together like we do now. They sat separate, men's on one side, women's on another side. And when they would start the service, people would yell out across the church. That would cause confusion, because the women was getting, they were yelling across the church, and hey, Deke, you know, hey, sisters, across the church. They was getting out of order. Everybody was talking across the church. So Paul came up with the law that women's were not to speak in the church. See, now, people had that wrong, because they're thinking that he was saying, don't preach in the church, because women ain't supposed to preach. But I just have to say, if some of us didn't preach, we wouldn't hear no preaching. We wouldn't hear it. Many men have stepped down. We wouldn't have no prayers, no prayers in the church. We wouldn't have no prayers in our home if that's what we want to go that far. Because a woman would get up and walk and pray all night, praise the Lord, not putting any man down. But I'm like, Mama said, if the shoe fits you, then you wear it. But if you, because then when women would get up and walk the floor all night long and pray, men's would turn over. And be just as comfortable, because they know she praying, now I'm all right. But it was a confusion going on in the church. And the church was getting confused, because the women were yelling out across the church and the men were yelling out across the church. And it was just confusion going on in the church. So Paul had to come and put things in perspective. Women are not to speak in the church. If they have any question, I think he read it and said, let them ask their husband at home. Now let me help you out with this. If you didn't have a husband at home, and you sure didn't have none in the Lord, so who are you going to ask? So what he was saying, he was trying to get it straight in the house of God, that this yelling out across the church must stop. And so there were some problems going on in the church of Corinth when Paul had to go forth and set things in order. He set it in order. And so what he was saying was this. He had just addressed the issue of the division in the church of Corinth. This issue was called by the wisdom, not by God or the Spirit, but by the wisdom of men. Paul said that they knew something among them. He says that he knew nothing among them save Christ and him crucified. He was only interested in the thing that Christ, how Christ wanted it to be, not how man wanted it to be. Because man haven't gotten it right yet. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And this is in the contrast to the philosophy and the philosophy of men of that day. Men such as Socrates and Pluto and Aristotle and the different schools of that was in Athens and the different Jewish, you know, structure and the Jewish schools and the thoughts of the Jewish school. All this thing is in public. See, but Paul was trying to get it, wanted to do it the way the Lord say do it. But preaching Christ and him crucified means preaching certain things and rejecting certain things. It means preaching the wisdom of God and rejecting the wisdom of man. Verses in Corinthians, verses 4 and 9. It means preaching the Spirit of God and rejecting the spirit of the world. Verses 10, 13 in Corinthians. It means preaching the spirit man and rejecting the natural man in verses 14, 16, Corinthians. And this is what I'm trying to say here is today, I just want to focus a little bit on rejecting the natural man and accepting the spiritual man. Now, if we can do that, praise God, we can get where Jesus can touch us and deal with us, because many times we are going to God in the flesh. Let me help you out. He do not look upon flesh. So before you go into where you say you're going, make sure you get into the spirit realm, because he only see you in the spirit, not your flesh. So that means you ain't got to go to him all looking all this and looking all deep and everything. Baby, go in the spirit. That's why he said, he that worship me must worship me in spirit and in truth. Spirit. You are a spirit being. This is what he sees. He don't see your flesh. He ain't looking upon your flesh because he can and he will not. He don't deal with flesh because he know flesh is nothing but an enemy. Can any good thing come out of this flesh? He don't deal with the flesh. And so what he was saying right here, he says, he's trying to help the natural man reflect to the spirit man. Because the Bible tells us we don't know what to pray for. That's why our spirit has to pray for us. We don't know what to pray for. This is why he said, the spirit man moan and groaneth for that we cannot utter. Because the spirit knows what God is seeking for. It knows. But the spirit assumes. You see what I'm saying? Two different things. And it says in the book of Philippians 3:17-19, I'm not going to read it all, but it says, brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have, for an example. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now telling you even weeping, I'm crying about this thing, that they are the enemy of the cross of Jesus Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is their shame, who mind earthly things. So now it makes you wonder, it makes you think, is the things I'm doing, is it God? Is it spiritual or is it earthly? Hey, examine my people, examine. Is it earthly or is it spiritually? The Lord only deal with spiritual surroundings, spiritual things. Spiritual. And it says, Paul is encouraging the brothers to walk after those who follow Paul as he followed Christ. This is why I said, don't follow me if I'm not following Christ. I don't want to give you anything but the word of God. I don't care about the popularity, who like me and who don't. It really doesn't matter. What matters is, am I obeying God than man? Am I obeying God rather than man? Am I being obedient to what God is telling me to do? And if you are just even one tidbit in your flesh, God does not hear you, because he does not deal in the flesh. Come on, somebody. Jesus. These are those who press towards the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Those who were following Paul, but Paul was following Christ, so they was following the Christ in Paul. Hello, somebody. And to those who are walking by the name, the same rules. This is a picture of the spiritual man. There are some, however, who do not walk in the same way. Then they are fleshly. This is why the word of God tells us, so you can't serve two masters. You going to hate one and love one, hold to one and despise one. Hmm? You cannot love two masters. You can't love two. There's a song back in the day, back in my days, when it was by Joe, whatever, I forget the guy's name, but he says, trying to love two ain't easy to do. So you can't love two masters. You love one, Joe Tex, that was his name. He said, you can't love two. It's hard to love two because you can't satisfy them both. And this is what the Lord said to you. Make up your mind. Choose you this day who you will serve. You can't serve God and you can't serve mammon. You can't serve them together. You got to choose one. But you got some people in today's society, they want to choose them both. Oh, Sunday morning, I'm saved, I'm sanctified, honey, I'm following the flow, I'm rolling, I'm shouting, I don't even made it me some tongues. I got tongues I can speak in. But on a Monday, they cussing, lying, ho-hopping, talking about you, talking about Jesus, everything. There is no God in them because they have a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. You are denying the power because if the power kept you Sunday, it'll keep you Monday. Hello, somebody. You see, this is what he's saying. He's saying this is the picture of a spiritual man, one that can walk in by the same rules that he started out with, spiritual rules. And there are some, however, do not walk in the same way. They walk out of destructive and corruption. They walk out of the things of the belly. It's all about what they eat and where they eat and how much they eat and what they pay for what they eat and where they going to eat. It's all about the belly. I heard the Bible says, "Said belly for the meat and meat for the belly," but he will destroy them both. They walk after shameful things. They do it in the dark and think it is not going to come to the light. But I heard the word of God said, "Whatsoever man doeth in the light, in the dark, it shall be revealed in the light." My mother used to say, people said, night don't have no eyes. Night got all eyes. Mm-hmm. This is why they use these machines now to trap a lot of people doing things and doing things to the authorities and stuff because they have what you call night owls. They can see in the dark and you don't even see them looking at you. Hey, God, he get about them. They mind earthly things. And this is a picture of a natural-minded man. Shameful, belly full of the eat, corruption, destruction. And mind only earthly things. That's what means a lot to them, to earthly things. They can't talk about spiritual things because that's not an interest to them. But when it comes to earthly things, oh, they can talk, honey. They can write a book about it. But see, praise God, even in that, it says right here, reject the natural man, accept the spiritual man in regards to self-control. The natural man places no restriction upon his lifestyle. He consumes himself with the excessive of life. Oh, child, I paid $400 for this pouch, honey. I paid this in here for my shoes, honey. Girl, I went and got these nails done. Girl, I paid so much for them nails, honey. Honey, I got this weed, this extension in my hair. Baby, I got the Malaysia boo. This is what I have in my head, baby. This is Malaysia. Mm-hmm. Earthly things that doesn't amount to anything that will soon vanish. Hallelujah. The natural man drinks to his heart's content. The natural man feasts until he is sick and then feasts some more. If there is a vice worth being called a vice, the natural man engages in it. Because they want to always feel like they're important. And they want to feel like can't nothing go on without them. That's the natural mind. But the spiritual man, however, exercises self-control. He understands that God's word forbids drunkenness. Yes, he knows this. Proverbs said it in 23:29-35. Who has woe? Who has sorrow? Who has contention? Who has babbling? Who has wounds without cause? Who has redness of eyes that they tarry long at the wine? That they go to seek mixed wine? Look not thou upon the wine when it is red. When it giveth this color in the cup, when it removes itself aright, at the last it bites like a serpent and stings like an adder. Thine eyes shall behold strange women, and my dying heart shall utter perversion things. Mm-hmm. See, because what you did, you went after, praise God, the things, praise God, that natural man does, and that doesn't understand, but this is a spirit. This is why they call it the spirit. The drinks and all, they're spirits. what Paul was saying there? He said, therefore, ye are not wise, but understand what the will of the Lord is, and be not drunken with wine, wherein it is excessive, but be filled with the Spirit, the Holy Ghost. Understand that God's word is forbidden in gluttonous. Be not among the wine bibbers, among the routers eaters of flesh, for the drunkenness and the gluttons shall come to poverty. And then guess what? And the drowsiness shall close a man with rags. You sit there and you do all you do, and everything you got, the cranking worm is eating it up. He understand that if he gives himself to addiction, it is sin. Romans said it, praise God the best. Know ye not that to whom you yield yourself servants to obey is the servant? Ye are to whom ye obey. If you're doing all these things, praise the Lord, and it's about the devil, and you're doing it for the devil, then that's your God. He's your master. Peter said it, praise God, in 2:19, while they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servant of corruption, for of whom a man is overcome, of the same he is brought into bondage. What the devil is doing with you, nothing but binding you up, lying to you. See, the Bible said there would come a time that man would have itching ears, that he would run to and fro to get something good, to hear something good. He don't want to hear no sound doctrine. He don't want to hear anything, praise God, about living bad. Everybody want to know, what's wrong with that? And I know God ain't going to do this. You don't know God. That's why you need to get to know him, because guess what? If he did not spare the angels that betrayed him with Satan, he's not going to spare you. You understand that if he gives himself to any addiction, it is sin. Mm-hmm. Peter said it. They themselves are the servant of corruption. While the natural man sees no restraints upon his lifestyle. Don't talk about nobody's lifestyle, baby. They'll fight you. What you judging me for? God going to judge me. Now God going to judge you, because I'm telling you what he going to do. Yes. I'm not telling you something I said. I'm telling you what the words say. And he said it. He said this. He said he's not restrained upon his lifestyle. The spirit man understands that there must be restraints to be able to please God. The natural man sees a strong, he see him as a strong, strong self who relies upon his own self in his center of all his activities. His egocentric. You know, it's just egocentric. He's so full of ego. I know what I'm doing. I got it like that. But you see, you got to understand, there were some people like that also in the Bible and the Word of God, such as the attitude of Pharaoh in Egypt. He thought he could not do God, but God showed him who he was. God flipped the script on him. He also praised God, was such an attitude of Belshazzar and Daniel. Daniel, honey, Belshazzar took his fist, my friends, and put his fist in God's face, and like he wanted to fight God. But you had to let him know, and he soon found out, praise God, that his hands were too short to box with God. And you know, praise God, he's so confident in himself to overcome all his obstacles of life. That was the attitude of a man by the name of Naaman at first. And this was the attitude of the Pharisees. He sees himself as the standard for everyone else's behavior. Look at Herod, who slew James, Simon, before his repentance in Acts. The spirit man sees all of his weaknesses and throws himself upon God's mercy. While the spiritual man, sorry, the superman, sees himself and throws himself upon himself. He sees himself and still put himself upon himself to say, oh, I can do this. I'm this way. But you can't conquer sin on your own. He always considers others before himself. In Corinthians 8, the Macedonian thought of others before themselves. That was the spiritual part of it. He recognized that they needed help to overcome his life, and that there is nothing he can do for his own power to merit that help. Until people realize you are not your God. You cannot deal with sin. Sin is going to win every time. Sin is too big for you to think you can handle it. Sin is filled with tricks. Yes. Sin is filled with luring you in that you can't get out. That's the natural man, because the natural man wants what it wants. It wants to be pampered. It wants to be rubbed on. It wants to be caressed. It wants what it wants, and it's never enough. Doesn't matter how you do it, the flesh will never be satisfied. Hallelujah. Never satisfy the flesh. And it says this right here in Michael 6:6-8. Whereas all shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before the high God. Shall I come before him with burnt offerings? This is Michael. With calves of the year old? Will the Lord be pleased with 1,000 of my rams? Or with 10,000 of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression? The fruit of my body for the sins of my soul? He has assured thee, O man, what is good and what does the God require of thee? This is what he told him. I don't need none of that you got, Michael. I don't need the calves. I don't want you giving them no oil, because all of it is mine anyway. I don't need no burnt offering. I don't need it. I don't need the firstborn, the first fruit of your body. He said, no, let me tell you what I want from you. What does the Lord require of thee but to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with thy God, my Jesus? And he spake this parable unto certain, the certain which trusted, the certain ones which trusted in them, in themselves, that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pay, to pray, and one of the Pharisees and the other publican, and the Pharisee stood and prayed thus within himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are. God said, what? What you mean you thank me for that? He said, the exhorters, unjusters, adulterers, you're just talking out everybody, calling out everybody, or even as the publicans. I'm glad I ain't like none of them, honey. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publicans stand afar off, who would not lift up so much as his eyes into heaven, but smart upon his chest. He hit up on his chest. He ain't going to do all that. It don't take all of that. What are y'all talking about? Saying, God, be merciful. He said, God, be merciful to me. See, he didn't blast out like the Pharisees. He went to the publican. He went to God, and he said, I tell you. He said, but God, be merciful to me, a sinner. That's the right prayer. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other, for every one that exalt himself shall be abased, and he that humbles himself shall be exalted. He looked to the one true statement for his code of behavior and perfect law of liberty. Therefore, I'm getting ready to end this. Lay apart all filthiness, superficial or naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your soul. My goodness. Be ye a doer of the word and not a hearer only, deceiving your own self. For if any man hear of the word and not do it, he is like a man beholding his natural face in a glass, for behold himself and goeth his way, and straightway forget what manner of man he was. But whosoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continues therein, he being not a forgetful barrier, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deeds. I'm here to say to you today, praise God, you need to kill the flesh before the flesh kill you. Because when you go to God, if you go in the flesh, God does not hear. He will not look upon flesh. This is why the word of God stated, he that worship me must worship me in spirit and in truth. Seek him today, my friend. Know that God is standing with outstretched arms saying, come. I have need that I want to teach you my word, that you will not err, but you will walk in divine truth. I pray, God, you've been blessed tonight, but my time is coming gone, and I pray you're blessed. Enjoy the word, and remember, the natural man cannot outstand the spiritual man. You are more spirit than flesh. Trust God. You be blessed. Until later. Tomorrow, 11 o'clock, 11:30. Anointed Word Ministry. The Pastor Ola Starling. Be blessed. Mm-hmm.